This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Joel Patterson, in this week for the vacationing Mike and Scott. A few months back, I wandered onto the SpaceX website to geek out a little bit on some rocket videos when my eye caught the tiny careers button in the upper right-hand corner of the window. I clicked it, and what popped up was frankly kind of hard to fathom. Hundreds upon hundreds of open positions, most of them hard to pronounce, let alone comprehend, or God forbid, do. Think optomechanical engineer, chief aerodynamicist, spacecraft recovery electrical engineer. The list goes on and on. Scrolling down it, my first thought was, where are all these workers going to come from? My second thought was sympathy for the poor soul tasked with all that hiring. To get our heads around the scope of such an undertaking, we tracked down Dolly Singh. She's the former head of talent acquisition at SpaceX, where she led the hiring of thousands of space engineers and support crew, and she spoke with us from a hotel in San Francisco. Dolly, welcome to Pulse.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
When I scroll down SpaceX's sort of never-ending list of job openings, and these are highly technical positions we're talking about here, as a former aerospace talent recruiter for SpaceX, does that make your stomach clench up when you look at that daunting list?
SpaceX has always been a rapid growth company. I think the industry as a whole has been growing pretty well. So, I mean, I think it's great. It's a good problem to have. So I think a lot of jobs and a lot of openings is a good sign for the company and the business. So I actually think it's a great opportunity and not a scary list.
Can you help me understand the difference between old aerospace and new space?
What I define new space as is sort of the Silicon Valley ecosystem being applied to the aerospace industry. And that is very different from the old aerospace world. Old aerospace is sort of a corporate jobs program on some level, right, where the government is the buyer, and the government usually buys under what's called cost-plus contracts. And with a cost-plus contract, the government absorbs the risk. And so you're actually, as the provider, incentivized to make a program take longer and add more jobs and potentially produce mediocre products that require lots of rework, because all that rework is extra billable time and money to the organization. And when there's no downside for doing that, there's also not much incentive for innovation, right? And so new space has been about creating an aerospace industry where innovation is a focus.
Many of these jobs require a combination of high levels of education and technical know-how. How do recruiters go about finding these folks?
You know, university recruiting is really important for any technology-based industry. And you look for students that have experience building things. I mean, that's really the core attribute. If you're a hardware-based company, and if you're a software-based company, then you look for people that have been writing code for a very long time.
When SpaceX or Lockheed Martin, let's say, post an opening for a propulsion integration technician, for example, are they looking for an exact fit, or is that job description a set of guidelines?
You know, every company hires differently, so Lockheed might be more structured than a sort of new space company. But in general, if you're looking for a propulsion technician, you're going to look for somebody that's familiar with engines and understands how an engine works at a very fundamental level. So does it necessarily have to be a rocket engine? Maybe not. We had lots of techs that came from outside of the rocket industry that we were able to sort of retrain and retool quite easily. And we just looked for people that were very good with their hands. That applied for both engineers and technicians. You want people that have built real systems.
And I imagine when you go out and talk to these candidates, you're probably talking a lot about topics and jobs, let's say mechanical engineer for fluid systems, that you maybe don't fully understand yourself. How do you do that? How do you approach those conversations?
I'm by no stretch of the imagination an engineer. I couldn't design or run the programs that these guys run, but I understand the technology well enough to be able to talk to somebody about it and determine whether or not they would be potentially a good fit. So you have to have the right level of operating knowledge, but not necessarily execution level knowledge.
Let's say I'm a freshman in college. I want to build rocket engines one day. Give me a great piece of advice.
Find your Formula SAE team. It's usually a race car building team. Most college campuses have them. Join the team. Go build real stuff.
You left space to start Thesis Couture. You manufacture high heel shoes now designed to be sort of nicer to your feet. How did your time at SpaceX help you make that transition?
Oh, it was very directly related, right? I understand structures and mechanics and design in a way that some people don't. What I wanted to do was take some of those lessons learned and some of that ideology and apply it to an industry that really didn't think that way, which is fashion and footwear. And so it's just about sort of taking the lessons learned from one industry and being able to apply them to another.
Dolly Singh, thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time today.